"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. The day after the Trump indictment was released, and we're going to have John Eastman on, increasingly known as co-conspirator number two. He was one of Trump's attorneys. And
it's like the dating game.
That's right.
And that's number one, number two, and number three.
He had a lot to do with the legal strategy that led Trump to believe that he could pull off...
He could stay in the White House.
Right? Changing the electoral slates and convince Mike Pence to certify the election in Trump's favor.
John Eastman has not been indicted. He's just listed as a co-conspirator. There might be a strategy behind that, behind the indictment. It's just about Trump. But there's a number of co-conspirators mentioned, not by name, and we're pretty sure that John Eastman is number two, and he will talk to us. He used to be the dean of law at Chapman University. 1 hour from now on the John and Ken Show. We'll also have an update on the guy that was found in the barrel off of Malibu. That was a big story this week.
Well, the update, he's still dead.
Well, we now know his name, what he did for a living, and a little bit more information about him. How's that?
Oh, okay. All right. That's better.
You were supposed to say things to get people to continue to listen.
Well, that's all we have.
You yelling out the update is he's still dead is not really advancing the football, but thank you.
I do what I can.
Times are hard, John Cobelt. It's a big story at Daily Mail. Anybody can fall into homelessness, including Tori Spelling. She's living in an RV in Ventura County. Complete with pictures of her actually doing the laundry and going shopping.
Her father may have been the wealthiest television producer history. I mean, he was worth over $100 million. He did a lot of shows back in the 1970s, like Charlie's Angels.
Well, she's splitting up from her husband, but she's also claiming that their mansion has got mold. So
that's a messed up family.
To find other place to hang out, and there she is in an RV in Ventura County.
Well, mom obviously has it in for her, because Spelling had a wife who...
Oh, you think that she didn't get much from his death, or...?
Apparently, the mom did.
Right.
But it looks like the daughter didn't.
Yeah, it says here she grew up in a 56,000-square-foot French chateau-style mansion that her father owned in Holmby Park neighborhood.
Did you ever see it?
No, I saw pictures of it, though. Because it was considered like the largest at the time, right?
It was next to or on the same block as Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion.
Oh, okay, right.
But there was a park across the street, and it had a pitch and putt golf course, and I used to take the boys there all the time. And everybody would, you know, point and talk that, you know, just down the block is the Spelling House. Uh-huh. And it was massive. It was the size of, it seemed like several hotels. It was gigantic. And the idea that there's anybody living in a trailer who is a direct descendant of Aaron Spelling is just unbelievable. Somebody's really treating somebody badly.
She's got five kids.
Yeah.
They're all hanging out in that 16, 15, 11, 10, and 6.
Yeah. There was photos of her coming out of a cheap motel the other day with the kids.
Yes, $100 a night, it says. Seedy. Yeah.
Seedy. It was a seedy hotel. So, you know.
I can't tell if it's hard times or, well, you'd think if you were rich. Times.
Well, she's had some issues with her mom. I think they didn't speak for a while.
That's what it is. So. Mom doesn't want to give her money. I mean, he made like, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars. And his shows made billions for the network.
Oh, they were all over the place in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn to everybody's worst nightmare. Shots fired on the freeway. We're going to go to Blake Trolley, KFI News, to find out all that we can about what happened on the 57 freeway last night. Blake?
Yeah, guys, this is a bizarre one with a lot of unanswered questions and some details that really have everybody scratching their heads. Last night, just before midnight, two cars were hit by gunfire on the 57 near Diamond Bar. One car was a white sedan with two women and a man inside. The other was a pickup truck with a family in it, father, mother, and daughter. The truck with a family inside pulled over close to where the shooting happened. Nobody was injured. The white sedan drove all the way to Costa Mesa with the driver, who was a woman, and the man in the back seat of the car, who was at least critically injured at the time of the shooting, if not possibly dead. The car travels all the way to Costa Mesa, about 30 miles, and ends up in a neighborhood. This is the first neighborhood to the left where the 55 comes to an end. There they call police, who respond. Paramedics come and pronounce the man in the back seat dead on the scene. This morning, someone showed me video of the man's body being pulled out of the car. He was completely limp, bloody. There was blood in the car. Investigators were on scene this morning, really focusing on that white car, which I should also note was not parked in a driveway. It just kind of came to a stop in front of a house. In fact, it came to a stop in front of this guy's driveway.
Just coming out of my driveway right now, I tried to back out to go to the gym, and it was right at the end of my driveway. The tires are flat in the front. There's bullet holes in the passenger side window. Looks like damage to the front windshield, and then some, you know, body damage and stuff, like it had been hitting other cars.
And the passenger side damage or bullet holes that you saw, was that in the rear or the front?
The front passenger side door is open, and there's bullet holes directly through the, like, tinted glass window.
Right. Did you see any blood or anything like that?
No.
I posted a photo of the car onto my Twitter at Blake Troll. You guys can look at it. And in that photo, you can see a bullet hole in the passenger side window. Now, all of this is under investigation. And of course, that includes, why did they drive 30 minutes before calling police with a guy dying in the back seat? The driver hit. There's a lot to learn here. I've seen at least one report that says the authorities believe the truck was hit in crossfire. The same guy who was blocked in kind of gave reporters an idea of what investigators did as soon as they responded yesterday.
So we have a couple cameras facing down the driveway, and that was another thing that kind of woke us up, as we saw flashlights on our house, which is the driveway directly across from where the car is right now. And police were looking trash cans, backyard, that type of thing, seeing if anyone had, I don't know, maybe jumped into our backyard or something like that.
So, yeah, a lot of unanswered questions, guys. I tried to, you know, at least lock down that detail. You know, does it appear that white car, the one that drove 30 miles, was the only one targeted? That is still at this point in time not confirmed.
So we have no motive, not road rage. We don't know anything, right?
Pretty much know absolutely nothing, Ken, except for the very bizarre circumstances behind this. I mean, you know, as soon as I read the details, my first question is, why did this car travel all the way to Costa Mesa with the driver hit and the, you know, the backseat passenger dying in the backseat? I mean, that's
nobody called 911, nothing from the car.
Apparently they did when they got to Costa Mesa.
There's
some kind of dark story there. Nobody.
It sounds targeted, right?
Yeah, but they didn't want the police involved. They just let their companion die.
Yeah, be ready for some updates on this one, guys. Obviously, yeah, there's a lot to fill in here. There are a lot of details to fill in here. And I think we're going to be hearing something those relatively soon.
Something in their minds made it worth letting the guy die rather than get police.
All right, Blake, thank you very much for that report.
All right, thanks, guys.
As he said, stand by for updates. This was a shooting on the 57 freeway that ended up with the people, and this is an area in Diamond Bar, but the people in the car where the shooting who got shot kept driving and ended up in Costa Mesa, where one died, another one was hurt, and we don't know much else on the story. And this happened 11 o'clock last night on the 57 freeway. Coming up next, we will give you that update on the guy that was found dead in the barrel. We now know his name and a little bit about his background. Also, an outrageous crime. They're back again. It's the smash and grab people. Where do you hear what they knocked off this time? John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We press forward. Our guest at 3:05 is going to be John Eastman. He is the former law dean at Chapman University. And, of course, now we now know he's the number two co-conspirator in the latest Donald Trump indictment.
And one of Trump's attorneys saying it was all his idea. It's John Eastman.
Yeah, John Eastman, there's the bus. Get under it.
Your bus has arrived. Lay down.
If this guy's to be believed, that's going to be the defense strategy, that Trump was just following the advice of his trusted legal opinion, right, men.
And Mike Pence has called all Trump's attorneys crackpots.
Mike Pence must have walked around with a little notepad because he took voluminous notes on a lot of things, supposedly, in the indictment that were going on. Phone calls with Trump, stuff that happened in meetings, and of course they were trying to pressure Pence to derail the certification of the election, is the allegation. So John Eastman has agreed to come on the show, I think with enthusiasm, I understand, John. So I don't think he had to be coaxed. He may have even reached out to us. I don't know.
Anyway. Well, if he...
He's not charged with anything, so...
He's not charged with anything yet. And if he thinks nothing was done wrong, then he never had reason to be that enthusiastic.
We have an update on the man whose body was found stuffed inside the barrel at a place where the Cobelts apparently go and visit, the Malibu Lagoon State Beach. You've not been questioned?
I have not been questioned. Okay. I wasn't there when the barrel washed ashore.
No? Okay.
No.
This happened over the weekend.
I go there
Monday to
look at birds.
Oh, I
don't look for dead bodies in barrels. It bothers
you
me.
You stand there nude watching birds, huh?
Well, no.
He just watches beach. Birds.
I just like watching birds. Makes me happy.
In the nude.
Well, unfortunately, the man that is dead was found nude inside a sealed barrel. We knew that yesterday. What we now know is his name, Javonta Murphy. 32 years old from Sylmar, which is not exactly around the corner from Malibu. They have not given any other details about the cause and manner of death, whether he was shot or strangled or stabbed or what, before he was stuffed into the barrel, which was sealed. This is the news of the obvious. The death is likely a case of foul play.
Wow.
55-gallon drum. It was plastic.
That's used for printing. One sharp detective on the scene there.
Well, they have to put that out officially.
Do you think it's foul play?
He was involved in music, is all we know. And the first thing I thought of today was, remember that shooting that occurred in another area you're familiar with, your old neighborhood there, right?
Sure.
Where the two women were killed?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like a rap music party, right?
Right. And so, of course, the shots broke out.
Yeah, in Instagram posts, he can be seen producing, recording, and writing music, both alone with other artists. And in a video posted 3 months ago, he's shown hiking in Malibu Creek State Park. So it may have been a place that he liked to go to walk, and maybe somebody who didn't like him tracked him there.
He got somebody
killed him,
mad.
Stuffed him in a barrel and threw it in the water.
He was involved in something not good.
I guess, because it's hard to believe this was random targeting.
That's right. No, somebody like your mom or my mom doesn't end up in a barrel in the ocean. You have to be involved in bad things.
But remember, as Steve said yesterday, one of the investigators said whoever did this is an amateur because, again, the barrels kind of floated around and people saw it. So he was not dead that long. They said his foot didn't appear to be too decomposed. So
maybe they just tossed him out to sea and the tide brought him in quickly. Somebody just unloaded him off a boat.
Also from the world of crime, we bring you this story. ABC reporter Sophie Flay look at this. Another West Side criminal incident, John. The Century City Mall. That's a nice high-end mall and a place that Deborah Mark loves, the Gucci store. Here's a story from Gucci?
One of her hangouts.
From Channel 7.
Cell phone video from Citizen captured a group of men rushing out of this Gucci store at the Westfield Century City Mall with luxury bags and suitcases. According to Los Angeles police, 9 people got away with the stolen goods around 3 p.m. Monday. And over in Irvine, surveillance footage caught 3 suspects in a smash and grab at Jewels by Allen. 2 women who were in the store shopping immediately dropped to the floor.
I'm numb. I am absolutely numb trying to figure out, okay, what's our next step?
You can see the suspects using hammers to shatter the jewelry cases and get the goods in the middle of the day Monday. According to Irvine police, the robbers got away with an estimated $900,000 in jewelry.
We know that we take a risk in this business. We know that. But customers walking in, they're not ready for this kind of atrocious violence that's committed.
The thieves were wearing all black and had their faces covered. Thankfully, no one was hurt during the violent robbery. And now Allen is left to pick up the pieces.
I can't stop because something like this happened. You know, we have to get on with life. I have a family to feed. I have bills. This lease still, we have to pay for it. Insurance, all kinds of stuff. This doesn't stop. And I'm not stopping.
The National Retail Federation notes that 3 of the top 10 cities for retail crime are in California, with Los Angeles taking the top spot.
It just kind of shows you the mentality that they either don't think they're going to get caught or they don't care if they get caught.
And Mark, so far, no arrests have been made in connection to either incident.
All right, that's from Channel 7. And of course, it was not only the shakedown of the Gucci store in Century City, but also the robbery of a jewelry store in Irvine. Is this coming back around again? Are we going to start to see these smash and grab robbers who like to just run in there and grab everything?
I don't know. The police had busted up a ring going back a year and a half ago. I think it was December 2021.
Oh, I remember that. That's right.
And so they were coordinated attacks, and it was all the same group. So
Then they're probably free of all that. If they were charged, they only got a day or two in prison, so they're jailed, so they're back out, right?
If the lesson isn't clear, you as a regular private citizen get exactly what you vote for, what you put up with. And you have that idiot George Gascon still in power. You've got Karen Bassetti, and they tie the police up. Police are not allowed to patrol the way they're supposed to and respond to crime the way they're supposed to. You know, they might have gone past the defund the police philosophy, but there's still that mentality out there. And so this is what you're going to get. Of course you're going to get smash and grabs because nothing much happens. And it's very profitable. I mean, the stuff, you know, what Gucci costs?
A lot of money.
Deborah, tell them how much Gucci costs.
I don't have a Gucci purse, but they're thousands of dollars.
You got a Gucci something, though. Right?
I have a Gucci belt.
A Gucci belt.
A belt.
I do.
That's right. She can only afford a belt.
Well, now you know what to get her for Christmas, John, for the holidays.
Right.
She should like some Gucci material.
But you know, I have gone into stores like this with my wife around the holidays. And what they do is they lock the door. They have a security guard. I have seen that. And they let people in one at a time.
Well, they still do that now, even though it's not holidays.
And they have a security guy in there, standing there, just in case. Yes, I've seen this. In fact, I went to one of the high-end malls in Orange County, and there's very few people shopping in the stores because the stuff's really expensive, but that's exactly what they were doing, one person at a time.
I've seen that at a jewelry shop. I've also seen it at a high-end gift shop. And, you know, they'll send some goon over to look you over through the window. To see if you're worthy of coming in.
You're not going to knock us off.
Yeah, right, that you're not going to be a smash and grabber.
Yeah, well, because there's no metal detectors at these mall entrances. They can't tell if you've got weapons or what you're doing.
And, the police will show up in about an hour, and you'll be lying there in a pool of blood with a chalk outline around you.
It's all part of harm reduction, John. We just want to make sure.
Yeah, harm reduction.
That the shoplifters get what they need, right, and that nobody gets hurt, so we don't want anybody interfering in the store, right?
Right.
Is going to use this harm reduction policy with everything now? Drugs?
That's basically what it is. It's a euphemism for anything goes. There's no laws anymore.
And we also want to harm reduce the toll on them going to prison or jail. We want to make sure they still have a life.
You vote for so many blockheads.
We wipe out their criminal record, right?
And every single time they do a man in the street interview on these stories, every time they talk to, oh, I can't believe what's happening in our city. It's like, I want your voting record. Prove to me you didn't vote for these clowns. I bet you did. Because these clowns win overwhelmingly. None of these races are even close.
All right, we'll return. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're listening to John and Ken on Demand from KFI AM 640.
You can hear us on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, whatever you missed, it's the iHeart app for the John and Ken on Demand podcast.
Yeah, and please connect to us to the Moist line. We'd love your messages through that app. Use the microphone icon. Call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. Our guest next hour to kick off the hour is John Eastman, supposed to be co-conspirator number two in the Donald Trump indictment that was announced during our show yesterday afternoon. He's agreed to come on the air, and he's not been charged with anything, but he certainly is considered a key player in the whole plot, if you want to call it that, to change the election results from 2020. So we'll get his take coming up right after the news at 3 o'clock. This may not seem real, but this story apparently is real. The only thing I want to say, because it got me, clickbait, mm-hmm. We're talking about this yesterday, it got me. I had to see. And when you scroll through it and you read the whole thing, you go, it's really probably just a few people. But just proving that anything can happen, here it is. NBC News, inside the online world of people who think they can change their race. Since before she hit double digits, Alisa, age 15, has felt a special connection with Japan. She asked to be anonymous because she might end up being doxxed. She was born in Ukraine, lives in Maryland, but she now goes by the Japanese name Mayuki and listens to subliminals that promise she will wake up and be Japanese. Turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so.
You know that's a
do, 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 do. Sorry, I love that song.
You know what that song means? That's a dirty song.
It is a dirty song.
Oh,
it's a 1980s song, right?
No, she doesn't know what it means.
I don't. I just love the song.
She's so innocent. Why would you think she'd know that?
Okay, what does it mean?
Oh,
is he allowed to clean it up?
Somebody's pleasuring themselves.
Oh.
If you're turning Japanese, you are.
Well, that probably has gone out the window now as being inappropriate, don't you think?
What? Okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to do a little research on that.
That was the story now.
Well, it's called RCTA, Race Change to Another. They try to manifest physical changes in their appearance and even their genetics to become a different race. This story says that most of the people that they discovered who were in this category want to be East Asian. I can't really explain that, but there's another girl in the story that's Egyptian. She also wants to be East Asian. Something about making the Asian culture exotic. And it's fascinating to some people. They seem to be teenage girls mostly.
Well, all right. You're dealing with...
Yes, I know.
The unbalanced demographic there to begin with. People have a lot of fantasies and fetishes and obsessions. And that's all this is. It's really not worthy of a story, except it's clickbait. You can put the word race in there and have people gasp and say, oh, no, cultural appropriations. Someone is trying to run off with my race.
That would be a part of the debate. You're right about that.
But what's the debate? If there's some Looney Tune girl who thinks she's Asian, just let her sit in a room and enjoy her weird fantasy. It doesn't have to be a scholarly controversy here.
Yeah, I know.
It's you know what? It's not wrong to be crazy. It's not illegal. It's not illegal to have a weird obsession.
This part's really going to fry you. They found a historian named David Freund who actually says biological race does not exist. What we know today is race is a combination of inherited characteristics and cultural traditions that have been passed down through generations. The modern concept of race is inseparable from the systemic racial hierarchy, hundreds of years in the making.
Look, the reason Norwegians are pale and that Africans are dark-skinned is because of natural evolution. There's a lot of sun in Africa, and so the people who developed darker skin had more pigmentation, more melanin, would survive. And, right.
So if we all stayed in the same place, we'd all look alike?
Evolutionary-wise, yeah.
Yeah, let's say wherever humans came from, they didn't move outside of just pick a country in Europe, right?
People in Norway, there's not much sun up there. And days are short in the wintertime. You don't get a lot of direct sunlight. And so your skin tone will be different. You don't need to develop melanin. There's no evolutionary prize for having more pigmentation. But the farther south you go, like look at the Mediterranean region, right? Italians, Greeks, Spanish. They're somewhere in between because the sunshine and the weather, the latitude is somewhere in between. So the farther north you go, the paler people are. The farther south you go, the darker people are. And that's not a genetic thing. That's just evolutionary adaptation to your environmental conditions.
I mean, this story says some people are doing it because they feel guilty about the race that they almost use the word they've been assigned.
Assigned.
And they feel guilty and they want to be something else, or they just admire. This girl in the story is Egyptian, but she wants to be Japanese and Korean. And she's put out videos.
There's people who fake their ethnicity or their race in order to get some kind of societal benefit. What was that woman, Rachel Dolezal? She ended up being a white person.
She wanted to identify as black, right.
Right. She ended up running a local chapter of the NAACP or something like that.
What about Trump's favorite senator, Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren, yeah, she ran around saying she was a Cherokee Indian because that would get her to check the box to get into college.
Show more diversity, right?
Oh, yeah.
And particularly an underdog, right? That idea to get into college, she would come from an underdog.
I've heard of TV newscasters trying to pass themselves off as Hispanic. in certain markets, you know, like Los Angeles, because that's what the news directors were looking for.
Well, I told you that back in the day, I was told that I should change my last name to Marquez. And people still think that that's my name, thanks to the way you say it.
Oh, because I talk too fast.
Yes.
Yeah, he talks so fast it sounds
Deborah
like Marquez.
Marquez. Well,
Deborah,
you know,
Marquez has the news. Right.
You should have made it Deborah Marquez. No, but years ago when we were living on the East Coast and we wanted to work out in L.A., I called the local news stations here, pretending to be my wife's agent, just to get an idea of, you know, how many jobs were available and what they're looking for. And I had three news directors. Tell me that if, you know, if she's Hispanic or, you know, can pass for Hispanic or has a Hispanic name, it'll be a lot easier. Like, they didn't care if it was real or not. They just want, you know, as long as you could sell it, then it'd be more likely she'd get hired. And this is a long time ago.
All right, we got more coming up. Remember, our special guest after 3 o'clock is John Eastman. He used to be the law dean at Chapman. And, of course, a top advisor to President Trump, particularly when Trump was saying that the election results in 2020 were fraudulent, that gave Biden the election. He is co-conspirator number two in the Trump indictment, not charged, but that's who he is, John Eastman. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Marquez has the news.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John Eastman, co-conspirator number two in the Trump case, is coming on with us. After 3 o'clock.
Does the lawyer have a lawyer? Or?
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out, what is he doing? I mean, could he be indicted? And is he expecting that? Or are they just going to use him as a witness? Are they going to try to squeeze him?
I'm reading that he's asking for $500,000 for his legal defense fund through a Christian fundraising site. So,
John Eastman?
He is, yes. Ah. Yes. So he might be concerned. And of course, he's also fighting disbarment. He was a guest on our show many times over the years, especially when Trump was president, issues with the border and other things going on. But anyway, this, of course, all has to do with Trump fighting the outcome of the 2020 election, yesterday's big indictment from the federal government. Trump is supposed to, do we know if he's going to appear tomorrow in Washington, D.C. in federal court, or are they going to do it like via Zoom or something like that?
Remotely? I think he's supposed to appear.
Oh, I heard he wants the... He wants the trial moved to West Virginia. Gee, I wonder why. Out of D.C. to West Virginia.
Washington, D.C., he only got 5% of the vote. Seriously. It was 92-5. West Virginia, I think he got something like 72% of the vote.
Now you know why. I think it was the nearest state where he did really well. So,
well, sure. Well, that it may come down to that, is how people vote politically.
We mentioned last hour, the New York Times did a story on what's going on in Portland with the horrible uptick in overdoses, particularly since they passed a law that basically decriminalizes fentanyl and meth and all that. The Times also did a story in the pictures, just like the Portland story, are unbelievable. Migrants sleep on the sidewalk, the face of a failing shelter system. People have come from all over the globe to a city that's legally required to give them a place to stay. Remember, they have that law in New York. This week, city officials said they've run out of room. And there's actually a picture of a police officer with a bullhorn trying to corral the crowd behind barriers who are on a sidewalk. The story by Andy Newman begins, they come from Colombia and Chad, from Burundi, Peru, Venezuela, Madagascar. In New York, they heard... there was a haven for migrants, a place to live and get back on their feet. When they arrived, they found out that they had heard wrong. 2, 3, 4 days later, they're still lined up outside the city's migrant intake center at the Roosevelt Hotel, around the corner from Grand Central Terminal. Close to 200 people, nearly all men, sleeping on a sidewalk, heads resting on book beds, trash bags, belongings by their sides, the visible faces of a system that has officially broken down.
Yep. And if you see the photos, they are all young men. There's hardly a woman or a child in sight. I can't. In fact, I'm looking at one photo and I can't see anything other than
because traditionally the young men come to get to make money and they send it back to their family. That's usually the idea behind this. They're the most able-bodied.
Yeah,
but you're right. I'm looking at that massive picture.
But this is the system. Well, first of all, Eric Adams.
This is Biden.
This is Biden. But
they're being sent there by Biden. maybe by the Texas governor who's overwhelmed.
Well,
combination of things.
But,
or maybe they're going there on their own because they kept hearing that this is a city where there's opportunity.
Well, Eric Adams had proudly proclaimed it's a sanctuary city.
Sanctuary city, right.
Well, you know what? And Bill de Blasio, the mayor before that, they get what they deserve. You're a sanctuary city, and then one day you go, oh, no, not anymore, we're not. It's like, hey, sorry, you stupid fool. When people told you that there shouldn't be such a thing as a sanctuary city but had the rule of law, oh, that's racist and xenophobic. It's like, okay, have it your way. You're the mayor of the city, not me. You got to deal with this. I don't. They're all getting what they deserve here. People in Portland, people in San Francisco, people in New York, all these progressive ideas suck. They're irrational, illogical, wrong, cannot work. It's impossible to work, no matter what your stupid ideology is.
It said that last week they seemed to keep up, but then on Monday, Mayor Adams simply said, that's it. There is no more room. From this moment on, it's downhill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's made this plea before. Didn't he go to Texas and tell the migrants there, don't come to my city?
But this idea that anybody's going to listen to a politician, right? Nobody listens.
But the word will get out because these people will tell their family back home, I'm sleeping on a sidewalk. This isn't good news here. Eventually, this has to ebb and drop off. Because,
does it? Then we got another 8 million people.
When you look at Manhattan, there's still a lot of workers who never came back to the office. So to get a job there, you know, at a restaurant or somewhere, that's also not a good deal since the pandemic.
Wait, they rely on social media.
Yeah.
You know, they rely on all whatever rumors are floating around. And those evil cartel smugglers, they send out phony stories because they just want to charge everybody for coming over the border. So they make stuff up. They tell them, oh, yeah, there's jobs, there's rooms for you, you can bring your family. That's what they're telling them. They're telling them all kinds of, pay me $3,000, and you'll have a room and you'll have a job by Monday. Oh, okay.
They talked to a 30-year-old migrant from Chad. Well, that's a long way to come, who only gave his first name. He's surprised that he's forced to sleep on the street. I'd at least think we'd have a place to stay.
Mm-hmm. See?
Apparently, though, they do walk around and give food out. Sandwiches, water, bananas, popcorn.
Because it's full. I've been telling a couple of people when something's full, this is like a law of physics. It means there's no more space, no more room. There's nothing you can do.
I was going to say, isn't it supposed to turn over? That if there's space, somebody eventually finds a place like a sponsor or a relative.
They don't have sponsors or relatives.
No,
they got nowhere to go. This is stupid. You can't pump 2 million people. Oh, and they're squealing as if the little border towns in Texas are supposed to absorb all this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one thing to have a different philosophy on how to govern, but these people who push this stuff are stupid. They're just flat. They lack basic intelligence. They don't understand that there's only so much space in a building, and then you hit capacity, and then the next guy's got to lay out in the street. And that's what Eric Adams has, because he's stupid. Like the mayor of Portland, the mayor of San Francisco, all these people.
All right, coming up next, our guest is John Eastman. John Eastman used to be the dean of law at Chapman University, but more well-known as a top advisor to former President Trump. But back when Trump was president, this was the man who was key in telling him what we could do to change the results of the 2020 election that was given to Joe Biden. And, of course, Trump has been indicted on a case around this that involves John Eastman almost centrally. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Hey, Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.